Boom! That's how I got responded to that other question. Boom!
Boom!
That is the point.
This is why the Gypsy Peter is passing?
No. Why Billy Miller get a job?
What do you have to say about Gypsy Peter is passing?
The woman is right. I want to know too.
I don't know about Gypsy Peters. I mean, Winston Bailey, the Shadow.
You know, we can do. We plan to start some Trinidadians, including I get cussed for doing that.
Who is we? This is we.
The Caribbean Wax Museum. We people. We
is Arthur Francis? You know them well?
We bring people.
Do you know them well? Do you know Arthur Francis?
Yeah, I know them well enough to use the word we.
Okay.
Into we bring them back to life in a way that people will never forget them.
They're nice people?
We want to all these people. Huh?
They're nice people, Arthur Francis?
I ain't know about Francis, but I like Art Real Bad, yes. Yeah. look, my man.
Listen, no, I'm happy to hear that you're planning to expand the Wax Museum into Trinidad and Tobago.
Whether or not we get support from any administration or not, it don't make a difference to me no more. Because these people will speak all they want on platforms that do absolutely nothing in real terms. We intend to make these people unforgettable, I swear to you. We got Sparrow. I spoke to Sparrow's wife about four years ago, and he was very ill at the time. He was only asking for a little permission, and the woman cussed me. Because I did not know his condition, and I understand exactly where she was coming from.
No, but you can do a lot of your statues are people who are alive.
I know.
What up, Alison Hines? She's very much alive.
I saw Alison yesterday, and I beg Alison. Oh, Alison, you coming through?
No, that statue needs to go into the Smithsonian.
No, we are the Smithsonian, my friend.
There is an aspect of that statue with regard to Alison Hines that is outstanding. No question about
it. Right?
Yeah. Perfect replica.
Mr. Wickham, you should be a gynecologist, man. You're a pervert. And I view all them males in the same light, man. Yeah. One of the same way. But good for you. I'm glad you think that way. That means that you and Mr. Johnson, man, should be having lunch sooner or something. What do you think?
I'm happy to hear, though, that you're thinking about putting Shadow in it.
But we had a guy called...
No question about it.
The guy with the walking stick that passed four months ago. Oh, gee.
Is this Pompey?
Not Pompey. No, it's Pompey. Romeo.
Oh, Romy, yes, man, sorry. I mix up Pompey and Romy.
People like that in the place, and when the kids come through, they can see these people as they looked when they were younger and more, you know, effervescent and that kind of thing. We don't get no help for the damn National Culture Foundation. They never even sent, no one for the National Culture Foundation has even written us an email. I said, Mr. Edwards, I love what you're doing, and I will back you even when that's my talk.
But you had the Deputy Prime Minister at your last function, the former Deputy Prime Minister.
Who was that?
Richard Seeley.
No, but
he made a very glowing tribute. You had Don Marshall, who was at the time chairman of the IDC. He was there. And you even had the president of the UPP.
But you know very much about my history.
Duh, but...
And you want to bring up...
Let's bring it in the open.
Three instances. Don is a personal friend. Don, if you tell Don come to me place tomorrow, you'll show up. Huh?
Am I a personal friend?
But you kind of foolish that you talk in public. Man, I got to keep you on the fence, man. I can push you already. You can imagine asking me.
Yeah, the product is good. Huh? I have said to you privately and I've said it on this side that it's a product that's good. My challenge is that how do you keep the product fresh? And I think that by adding people like the same Shadow, you can keep it fresh.
But who am I going to add Shadow before I go do a David Rudder or Slinger?
The point is that you got to start somewhere. And it's difficult to know who to get first. One strategy could be to start with everybody who dead and come back.
How does that help? We put heads out there at the top. We put heads out there on Cave Hill. Mm-hmm. And I saw two of the heads were alive at the time. Frank Royal had passed a long time. And two of them, one has passed since.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw when those guys get on at the head that we put up. But they don't get licked down for somebody lick the damn thing down. And he was in tears, man. And his speech was very short. He says, I wish my parents were alive to see it. Day.
Yeah.
I heard that with my two ears. I saw Grainer come to tears, man. Huh? Grainer is now there, down there in that supermarket down the road. And Grainer like that, because that is the kind of honor people deserve to have while they are alive. You think I'm going to go do my man Shadow know that he dead? When they got people alive who deserve to be treated that way, and it should be done while they're still alive?
Huh? That would be the idea. That would be ideal, but I'm just saying that if you can't do everyone at the same time.
But that's the plan. Maybe. I want to get a woman who got a dame ship. She's not a dame, somebody, a Calypsonian. Be it called a dame in Trinidad. Doc Singh and Francine, Calypso Rose.
Oh, Rose. Mm-hmm.
You don't think I want to do Calypso Rose before you do a man who's
Oh, Rose fast? Could be a dame. No. Rose has the hummingbird, the Trinity Cross.
No, but she is called Dame Bird. I think somebody in Europe gave her a bird, a dameship.
Oh, okay. She received it externally. Yeah, and I think she lives in Europe now, so for that reason,
and
yeah,
she
can carry the title.
Or whatever it is called over in the way. You know,
yeah, she deserves one, too. Yeah.
Exactly, but you can't do it without support. You cannot do that unless, of course, you have the kind of recognition of it being important. And like I said to you, man, you were called three examples when people, you know, when Mr. Steely passed through, also a friend. Mm-hmm. It's because he was on his way out. And he want a little promotion, you know what I mean? He want a little,
Mr. Auntie America, when we spoke on that fateful evening, and I said to you that I thought, listen, you have a good product. Your problem is that your politics leaves much to be desired. And I told you so that evening. I said to you, you are in the throes of an election campaign. It was in your interest to have somebody from the Barbados Labour Party who, for all likelihood, would have won the election because it was only you and Annette Eastman with this nonsense about them being a win. You knew very well they would win. I said, invite somebody from the Barbados Labour Party team and have them present just because you would want to identify with the incoming government. But no.
But you don't think
you got UPP.
You don't think
you got Solutions Barbados.
Huh?
You got Democratic Labour Party.
People there I know personally I invited and they refused to come.
Maybe you should have invited them with more enthusiasm.
Be more enthusiastic. These are people I
and
know
the point. The point is that I think your project deserves support. But the politics, you play it badly. And then they don't help you call on the program, spouting
the
atheism, cussing people and all this kind of thing. It doesn't help.
My man, what do you want me to do? You're an atheist. You have said so many, many times before.
But maybe that is also part of the reason why I'm still a talk show host. The last four talk show hosts and
so you want me to lie?
Ambassador at large and foreign affairs minister and all this kind of thing. I still hear it, you know.
I'm
going
to be somebody different because they want to appeal to me, Amali. That's what you want me to do, right?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying play
but
the politics.
What you just said.
Play the politics better. You could have invited John King. Play the politics better.
I didn't know John King.
Actually,
John
maybe you should do a statue of John King.
Why?
Johnny, my boy?
Yeah, before who?
Well, no, I'm just saying maybe that would be a good strategy to follow. But the point is, he won the Caribbean Song Competition with Allison Hynes, and I think that he has etched his name on history's page. Isn't he the only Calypsonian that we have ever had that has become minister of anything in Barbados?
Gypsy has also been Calypso.
In Trinidad and Tobago.
What has he done for the culture industry?
Gypsy also deserves to be honored. And I'm saying that John King.
No, but why is it that being a minister is so important? That's what I'm saying to you.
It's a significant achievement.
It's about what do you do. It's not an achievement. It's because you've joined the party. And the party has favored you. And they're probably prepared to say, okay, this would maybe be the dressing. This is the man I'll put up front because it makes us look better. But that's all it would be until he does something special. He does something special with
He might do something special just now. He might do something special just now.
Because you're a man that believes in promises. You know, you have been here for long enough. I'm only 35 years old. You're a good few years older than me. You know a lot more than I do. And you still believing in promises? I mean, what kind of person are you, my man? You know, we brought this guy from Dominica. And we pay him a salary. As far as I'm concerned, that salary should be paid by the Barbados Labour Party. It should not even be paid by the government of Barbados. Taxpayers should not be paid for a PR person.
So he will not be getting a statue. The person of whom you speak.
No, but I can't give him a statue because they got people better than him. They got you. They got Patrick King. They got the guy that called us before. All I want are so good at PR.
So I could get one too.
Salary, not him. So I should be doing statues of three y'all. I mean, come on. If you really want this thing to work, you have to criticize people. You have to actually speak out on things that do not actually make sense. And you are not doing that. You're just being so damn defensive.
No,
6 months ago, you were saying, I need to go back to this. No, a year ago, you need to get this job even if they don't pay you, because you got a message to say. You got something to say. Right. And it might very well have been. That
you mean here?
Frontless Stewart. Yes.
Right. Because but I still got something to say. I still here.
Who likes Frontless Stewart? But the reality is that if you want to criticize Stewart, criticize the present Prime Minister we got now too.
But when the time comes for me to distance myself from Prime Minister Motley, I will.
Let me ask you a question. How much money is paid in rent, for that new building, to putting a government agency in that new building that gap there in Warrens?
I don't know.
Do Do you not think it's important to find out before you start sending people home and saying that you agree with them? How much money are they paying a month to put that new agency in the second floor in that building? We got a building down there. No, this is not the Mayor Motley's fault. We got a building that was in Bridgetown now for the licensing authority people. It was removed from the what's it called, the boardwalk that was named after your grandfather or something, and they move it across there now in this car park building, and people standing outside in the road. No, you got to have... You
from
gotta,
4 o'clock in the morning, stand up in the road.
No, that can't be true, man. You cannot be...
I'm telling you, before 4:30, 5 o'clock, people out there won't be the first to get here.
I can't blame... I can only blame her for things that she's responsible for.
I don't know why anybody would do that.
But that need to be fixed with haste.
Yeah.
With haste. And that's what Patrick King should be here talking about. Patrick, they're rock and rock. Because he got a sight. The man hold a sight and he hanging on for dear life.
But right, boy, you hold sight.
Hanging on for dear life.
Well, boy... I don't know anything about
it. Spent. I still want to know how much money is being... You know, I would have backed Miss Motley from day one if she had a smaller and a more convenient cabinet. If she was prepared to show Barbados that I am prepared to demonstrate at this level that costs are important. If she came because the 16 that the other guys had was too large. If she came with a 10 or 9, I would say, oh, this she can do no wrong. There's nothing she could do that I could probably fault. But she come with a 26, and then with 4 more consultants, they look at me and tell me that, she's cutting costs. I cannot possibly back that kind of foolishness, man. You might want to do it because I don't know you getting paid. I'm not getting paid. So I'm going to ask...
Am I getting paid by who? Am I getting paid by Starcom?
Why are you going to bring back Billy Miller? Huh? What? For what reason? For what reason?
We have to rent.
How much money is being paid in rent again? Hello? Are we still here? Or am I getting cut?
Good, no, you're going to get cut shortly, but just finish up because Dennis has to go.
Yeah, but then you still have that building. You want to incorporate all these things back in the National Cultural Foundation, which I believe should be shut the hell down. But you have the Ministry of Culture still paying rent again. I mean, you got the old building there in Harbour Road that used to be the Ministry of Economic Affairs or something. A lovely building. It's still very new. That's empty now, catching dust. What are you going to do with that building? You got all those nice buildings out there on Bay Street, which used to be the old General Hospital. Like, you put on a roof, nice limestone walls.
Auntie, we're going to have to go, though, because, yeah. No, we're going to have to go. Remember, you're on a slight timeline. We have to get some ads in, and then we have to come back to be here for the regional roundup. So do stay with us. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I was watching a video clip of the Mighty Shadow in the break, and I was reminded of the first and last performance I ever saw with Shadow. And I realized that Shadow, he stands up and sings. He doesn't move, and he hardly moves. The man competes effectively and performs effectively, standing up on one spot. Certainly was a giant. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning. Good morning and welcome.
Morning. Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yes, I was calling about this thing that I saw in the Nation. The Nation is about the 82-year-old man who had saved his money and put it in the treasury bills, and now he can't get the money back. I'm not sure if you have seen that.
I saw it, yeah.
Is that a government problem? I'm asking the question. I'm not stating.
I think it has become a government problem, but technically speaking, one would argue it shouldn't be. Had he invested in Clicquot, Trade Confirmers, had he invested in Stanford, the bank of Stanford's bank, Stanford International Bank, it would not be a government problem.
Right, but the treasury bills are from government, correct?
They are from government, and that's why it has become a government problem. But it's an investment. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and obviously, any investment will go astray. But technically, shouldn't he be able to get back his money?
Maybe he's getting back his money. He's getting it back. It's just that he's not getting it back in the timely manner that he would like it. No, I mean, and no one is not getting back their money. They're all getting back their money. It's just when.
I think that's a problem, though. I think this is why I subscribe to a lot of what Mr. Anti-America says. I don't call it program very often, but I have a very big issue with government and governance, basically, because it seems like all a big ploy. You know what I mean? It's a joke. To me, it seems that way, I think. Because when there's an issue, government doesn't have any money. So basically, you have to take what they tell you. Oh, we don't have any money. So I'm sorry. We don't have any money.
So are you being fair, though, in terms of the...
How are you
No, I'm saying, give me a hearing. I'm saying, are you being fair in terms of placing the issue in context? You take an investment instrument, okay? You take an investment instrument from someone.
Yes, it's a risk that he did.
Right. No, but I'm saying you take an investment instrument from someone, and the person happens to be government. They say to you, it will mature in 5 years, and that your interest will be 6.5%.
Yeah.
They come back and they tell you, because we're under some pressure, it will now mature in 15 years and the interest rate will also be cut.
Okay. So that's understandable. And I'm not.
I'm saying it's not understandable. It's hard, but
right.
it is
I'm
what
not
it is.
You're saying, but he's 82.
But right.
Come on, man.
And that's the reason why the Prime Minister has indicated that special dispensation will be made for some people. And he's in the category that he would get relief.
Okay.
He's in the category that he would get relief. You know what I think is the unfortunate part of what you're saying, though, sir? That I think that people who are in that 80, 70 and 80, they should get relief because they need to get their hands on their money, right? The thing that worries me is that there are a lot of people in that category who, they're the only investment they have, you know. They got plenty other investments. Sorry, I have to give you the last word, though, because I realize we have to go to the regional roundup. So you wrap up, sir. Okay, stay on the line. Do stay on the line, and we give you the opportunity to finish what you have to say when we come back. We shall go to the regional roundup now. We'll be right back with you in about 10 minutes. So stay. Welcome back to Down the Brass Talks. You still there, sir?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Right, okay, carry on. Finish. You can continue to make your point.
Yeah, no problem. I was just basically saying, again, I think one of the biggest issues when it comes to things like this, after mismanagement of the country and things that have taken place over the years. And I'm not speaking about one particular BD government type of thing. But as I was saying, if we're given, put it this way, when we don't pay our taxes, it's a penalty,
mm-hmm.
right? And possibly jail time. If it's the other way around, if we don't receive our taxes.
You know anybody that ever get locked up for not paying taxes?
No. I can't say that. I said, but what are they? I said possibly jail time. I didn't say for sure jail time. I said possibly, right? So what I'm saying is, when you don't pay taxes, the penalties are put on you. But when the government owes you money, we don't get any interest on the money owed. It's just we don't have the money, so basically you got to solve. Sorry. And I just feel like that is a major issue. Because it's okay for you to tell us we don't have the money, right? And we have to be understanding to your problems of y'all not having the money. But we can't come and tell you all that. Well, child, right now, this month, I ain't got the money, you know? Can't pay that real tax.
I want to raise a few things with you. One of them is that we in Barbados are familiar with the trade confirmers issue. Where that company came to Barbados, it took several investments, it collapsed, and people were left penniless. There was Bank of Credit and Commerce International, I believe it was in Bridgetown, that suffered a similar fate. So what are you doing? Because I can't hear myself. Yeah, we had the Bank of Credit and Commerce International that suffered a similar fate. And then you come down the line, the Stanford International Bank. The problem, sir, is that these things are investments. And whenever you invest, there's always a risk associated with investment. In many instances, there are hefty returns, but there's always a risk. And there are a couple of rules and principles that investors will always tell you. One is that you limit your exposure. The challenge that we are having in this conversation is that I don't think that many people understood that investing in government paper is a risky investment. It's not a guaranteed investment. It is a risky investment. In much the same way that investing in paper that is issued by Clico International carries a level of risk. And the reason that this thing has become so difficult for us is that we assume that government would always be a safe deal. Government would always be a bet that is safe. The challenge, as I understand it, is that the lack of safety associated with government investment is coming from the fact that this government is by definition bankrupt. And when a government is bankrupt, it does not go to the investors and say, sorry, we have no money. It goes to the International Monetary Fund. And based on its agreement with the International Monetary Fund, they've come up with an agreement that says, all of the debts that you have to pay, you will pay. But we will try to restructure So people have come, government has come to you as a person who it owes money and says, would you be willing to accept that over a longer period of time with a reduced interest rate? Bilateral agreement between yourself and the person who owes you money, and you will be getting it back, but you will be getting it back at a slower pace. Now, the point I'm making to you, sir, is that while that seems harsh, the reality is that it is a reality of investing, that from time to time these things happen. And while it is not a private enterprise that is bankrupt, it is a government that is, for all intents and purposes, bankrupt. And the only reason that you are not getting your interest on your payments now is because government just simply does not have the money to give you. If you were in a position where government, you owed government money, but you did not have it to give, right? What would happen? Government writes off debt all the time for people who owe it money that either dead or can't pay for some reason. Because the fact is that while you may owe someone money, if you can't pay, you can't pay. If you sit out with a bank, you declare you bankrupt. The challenge is that government is, for all intents and purposes, bankrupt, because we have 160% of GDP or 150%, I can't remember what the figure is, which is not sustainable. So idea of saying government should pay all its debts is impossible because it just does not have the resources to do
so. But Peter, sure. You said that. And didn't I not agree with you from the very beginning?
Right.
Because to be honest with you, I understand your point.
So then what's the conversation about? You're saying that certain people should be protected.
Don't know. Just saying. Initially, sir, what I was saying, right? You correct me. You told me this is your opinion. I understand your opinion and I get what you're saying. And I agree with what you're saying, right? But at the same point of time, you said, okay, government is bankrupt because GDP, blah, blah, blah. I answered basically said, yes, that is true. But why is that? Why is that that we're to that point? Why is it that there are different things, but I can point to one and say, okay, inflation in all government agencies, because most of the times when governments get in, what they do is they try to promise people jobs, bring it in. So over the years, between the B's and the D's, that's been going on all the time. When ever since we knew that they were supposed to be cutting jobs, and it could have been done gradually, right? But it goes on and on and on and on. People know this, but they don't do anything about it. So that's one of the problems that I think I have, one of the biggest issues I have. They know what's the problem, but as opposed to fixing it, they add to it, and that's how we get into positions that we get into.
But my question to you, sir, is what has the Motley administration done to add to the problems in the short
term? I'm not dealing with that, Peter, to be honest with you, because I feel...
Okay, well, if we don't deal with that, then what can we? Who can we deal with? Because you can't deal with the others because they're gone already.
What I'm saying to you is I don't feel as if I am going to sit here and say Motley this and Motley that, because I feel as if there's going to be... I don't want to get into that for my specific reasons, and I know what I'm saying. I let you as a moderator, but I don't want to pull the Mayor Motley administration into it, because I think it's going to swing one way to what the way you may want it to swing, and I'm not really going to go into that. I don't have anything personal against Ms. Motley or the administration. Again, my interest is my country. I really don't care about government. You understand?
But sir, if you take, I feel like it does a lot of things. Which is fine, I'm saying if you take that position, right, then let's just deal with the problem. And to fix the problem, we have to look at debt restructuring. So if you're saying you're taking a non-political position, then let's look at debt restructuring. If you're saying that these problems have been created over time and politicians have not done... We have done things to make matters worse. That's basically what you're saying. And my point is that if we can say that it's Prime Minister Motley and her administration that has made matters worse, you can't say that because they haven't really been in office for long enough to be contributing to this problem. So you're saying then that the previous administration did that. And while I agree with you, the fact of the matter, sir, is that...
Plural.
So you're talking about... From Sandiford administration, the Barrow administration, all of them, Tom Adams, right.
Exactly.
The point is that we acknowledge that, but we are where we are now. And there's nothing that we can do to penalize previous administrations. So my thing is, let's basically learn from our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Let us protect the vulnerable, which is these people who are 70 years and older. And let's see if we can carve out a space for them. And the rest of us will just have to work harder for longer to repay the debts that we have earned, incurred. And that's okay. And that's how I'm seeing it, because I'm saying to you, if it is that we're saying it's not a political issue, then we just have to rebuild. If it is a political issue, it don't make any sense. You remember some time ago I had a conversation with people who were calling and talking about they want to lock up somebody or lock up the next person?
Yes, I remember that.
Right, and you remember my reaction?
Yes, but I think your reaction, again, I listen to you all day because I like listening to you. And that's the truth, because I agree with a lot of points you say. But at that point, I kind of disagreed on.
If you want somebody
I
lock up?
No, just hear me. I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, right, Peter, there is not... All right, I go into a bank and I'm robbing it all the time. But at the same time, them know who it is. I get in the way, right? But them know it's me. You understand? How the bank can feel like that about that? They're going to feel a way, and that is the general public. The bank is the general public.
And I understand
everyone
the pain.
Everyone knows that these things are happening, and they want, because if it was me or you, and I think that's the point, and it's about fairness. If it were me or you, Peter, we would be in jail.
The reason that I took the position that I took is because I've been in this business for long enough. I've seen the aftermath of the PNM administration in 1986. I've seen the aftermath of the ALP administration in 2004. I've seen the aftermath of so many administrations in the Caribbean that have been in office for a long time, St. Kitts and Nevis Labour Party, the same way. And there's always this call, let me lock up somebody because tiffing went on and this and that. And all I'm saying to you, sir, is that I have never known of a situation in which anyone has been successfully prosecuted.
But what I want,
I've written it in articles and I've tried to use language that is as clear as possible, sir. I don't like it. I don't think it is a good thing. But I think that we would spend our time better trying to find ways and means of ensuring that the nonsense stops, right?
Agreed.
This whole concept of a kickback, right? If we understand how kickbacks work, we can structure a system to ensure that it is difficult or nearly impossible to take them. If you have a transparent bidding process, you will solve that problem. You would be far more successful in establishing a transparent bidding process and a commissioner, I think they wanted to have a commissioner of tenders, than saying you're going to spend time trying to lock up somebody in a situation where you have no evidence, because the person who holds the evidence is the person that thief into.
Agreed. But
so you and me conspire to thief. Why would I give information on you? Why is it idiot? Yeah, precisely. Unless you and me follow. And that has happened. But if you and me don't follow, we can thief and share the money and we can go about our business. I have nothing to say. You have nothing to say.
So, okay.
All is good.
So I know a lot of people I don't want to get into. I waited my time and I have my time. And I appreciate you speaking to me about the matter. But tell me if you agree with me. Do you feel as if the thing that happened, that the former minister that came to the paper and all this thing, do you think it only happened because it got to United States?
Of course it did.
Because that is my belief. That's
of course it did.
You understand?
Well, I've said as much. If a U.S. bank was not involved, indeed, if the individual in question was a U.S. permanent resident, we would not be having this conversation.
And that... The
situation in Antigua, I don't know if you ever heard about one of the ambassadors in Antigua, right? Who was charged with something similar. He was actually ambassador to the United Nations under the previous administration, right? He was charged with something similar. He died subsequently. So the matter has never gone any further. But it was a similar situation where the only reason why the conversation came into the public domain is because he was an American in addition to being a diplomat.
And I think that's that. I'll just leave on that note. And I think that's
sad. It is sad, but my thing is, let's pick our battles as a country, right?
Okay.
And let's decide. And I mean, this is important advice to follow in life. Let me pick our battles. Can we win this one? No. Can we win this other one? Yes. Well, let's try and fight the one that we can win. So I'm saying, we are in a perfect position in Barbados now to be looking at all of our institutions and overhauling them to ensure that this nonsense stops. Because we have seen graphically the cost of it, and we do not want it to be repeated. So let's focus our energy on trying to repeat it, because we are going to exhaust ourselves trying to lock up somebody. And, you know, annoying hearing that even the one that come before the courts, I'm seeing a thing in the paper today saying that they already got evidence. It's very, very hard to lock up people. So I can tell you, across the region, I have never heard of a situation in which a politician ended up in prison. They lock up a financial secretary in the British Virgin Islands many years ago over some bridge contract, right? He was a public servant. He wasn't a politician. He was exposed to the politicians, but he wasn't a politician. But so, generally speaking, politicians don't get locked up.
So why do you say...
Sorry?
A long term. Specifically because most people...
Why what?
Anything else. No, I'm saying, why... The Caribbean, because a lot of times it seems to be... In Caribbean, we see a lot of these instances where persons are not prosecuted.
Because our systems of governance are not sophisticated. And I think that's something that we have to look at. We have to have sophisticated systems. In the way that the Americans can say, if you deposit a large sum of money on the bank, they can call on you to explain it. We need to get to the stage where we are doing the same thing, where we are able to patrol the movement of money in and out of our systems. And naturally, that's the challenge that we face in the Caribbean. Our economic systems and our accounting systems are not sophisticated enough to deal with the realities of life. So, but sir, I enjoyed this conversation. I'm sorry that we can't chat for longer because, you know, I think that you're onto something. And I feel your pain. As I said, there's a point in which we just got to look at reality and say, how do we move forward? But it doesn't make it any less wrong. And I entirely agree with you that we need to carve out a protection for people who are 70 and over, because it's all right for the rest of us to get burned because we have time to recover, but most of them don't have time. They say that the years are numbered 70 and 10, and this is what Dennis tells me is in the good book. Good afternoon and welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we're with you until 1:30. Excuse me. 1:30 p.m. It is now 12:43. We go until 1:30. And you're still in with myself and Mr. Dennis Johnson, 434-1790. You can also email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. We had some interesting calls during the first half, so let's hope that you can take me up to 1:30 with a similar level of excitement. Good afternoon and welcome.